Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.
Mary had a little man.
The fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream today.
Change has come to America.
Believe it. Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show. Turn up your mind.
Now. Buy a stinking podcast. Thank you.
Another successful job. We're very, very proud of our military.
Thank you.
Just like we're proud of the folks in this room, we are so proud of our military, and it was another successful
bombing
event.
Did you authorize it?
Everybody knows exactly what happened.
No one knows.
And what I do is I authorize my military. We have the greatest military in the world, and they've done a job as usual. So.
Holy crap, he's outsourcing the military. He's delegating. Anyway, Malcolm Nance joins us now. Malcolm, as you know, 30 years an intelligence expert, the author of a book that you must read called the Hacking of the Election, the American Election. Malcolm, too much is going on. Calm me down. The president is delegating the release of any bomb the military selects for any damn thing at any time? Is this where we are?
Well, apparently it looks that way, and I think he said that some time ago, that the authorities that are usually prescribed to the regional commanders and commanders-in-chief, you know, like the president, in terms of using drones and precision strikes where needed be, are now being relegated down to the theater commanders and the regional battle commanders, and they can choose whatever weapon that they want, obviously, shy of an atomic bomb.
Really, Malcolm? Because how does that work with our allies? How does that work with civilian casualties? How could that work?
Well, I mean, it can work.
Okay, good. Now calm me down.
It can work if you have competent commanders who are taking into consideration that the mission requires that we also work with our local partners, our allied partners, and that we have to keep civilian casualties to a minimum or avoid them where possible in order to meet our objectives. And our objectives are that we want stable, supporting governments in nations like Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, and Syria. And, skip Syria for a bit. We have a small part of Syria. And for that to occur, you cannot just go around bombing things willy-nilly. But on the other hand, the drone strikes was a program where we were carrying out precision targeted attacks that were authorized strictly by an executive order of the President of the United States. And now it appears that select drone strikes are now also going to be in the hands of the theater commanders, where they can determine who deserves to be killed. So long as it plays within the parameters of the authorization of use of military force, it's not excessive. I know today everybody's talking about the MOAB, right?
The mother
of all bombs.
I know we have one bigger. I know we do.
Well, not conventional, because a lot of people are confusing this with the Daisy Cutter, the 14,000-pound bomb that we used to drop out of the back of a C-130 off a sled. That's from the Vietnam era. This one's longer and wide. Just as, you know, not as wide, but it's carried by a B-2 bomber or a B-52. And but the difference is, unlike a Daisy Cutter, which came down on a parachute, this comes down and it is steerable. It's controllable. And so it can be guided like our standard 2,000-pound laser-guided bomb, a JDAM, and come within 3 feet of its target. Not that it's going to need it. Because when 28,000 pounds of high explosive goes off, you know, you can be, 500 yards, or, you know, 1,000 yards away, and you're going to feel the blast effect, if not be impacted by the
My understanding is it's you know, a bunker buster on steroids is what it's a thermobaric mixture. It's just like those bunker busters. You know, I do understand it goes in the cargo section, which, you know, is my area, the cargo section of the B-52. And then they throw it out the back, you know. But there is a bigger one. There's a 30,000 pound one that's also designed to strike targets that are very deep, too deep to hit with, you know, the bunker busters. And that one, you know, they have different, you know, it's the BLU-118 or something. And this one is, you know, this is a GBU-43. But anyway, it's gigantic. It's a 21,000 pound bomb. And it is, you know, to target underneath, you know, the tunnel systems that we believe the that ICE, I don't know, is there ISIS in Nangarhar? Is that where we are?
Yeah, and I wrote that in my book, Defeating ISIS, which was a bestseller, and Donald Trump claims it was the last book he read.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Malcolm.
not quite sure how much he read, but there are a lot of pictures. And, you know, ISIS is in Afghanistan, and a lot of the members of Al-Qaeda and some rogue members of the Taliban flipped over, adopted their own super hardcore ideology, and they've been building base camps in Nangarhar province, which is along the, you know, the Pakistan-Afghan border, north of Jalalabad, and, you know, on the other side is the Swat Valley of Pakistan. And, you know, our special forces practically live up in Assadabad, which is the major town that's up there in that part of, you know, Nangarhar province. But ISIS has suffered some very serious attacks in the last 2 years. In 2015 and 2016, two of their base camps were obliterated by the Afghan National Army. And it turns out that these were above-ground training camps, and they were massing their guys there and dancing and, you know, shooting in the air, doing all the stuff that amateur groups do. And they were wiped out. So they've taken the last year to dig underground and use the ISIS, you know, tunnel manual that was produced for Syria and Mosul.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of, you know, I know the Taliban, they switch sides all the time. You know, whoever's cool and winning is where they go. Al-Qaeda, I didn't even think Al-Qaeda was, you know, around anymore. Thought they were more like a criminal organization these days. So,
oh, no, they're around, but they had lost a lot of operations in Afghanistan. Their principal operations are now in Yemen, Somalia,
right,
the Sub-Saharan Africa, the Sahel Africa.
Which is also your area of expertise. So we're back in your part of the world now.
All of these are my part. I served in, I was in Jalalabad.
I know.
So, you know, I was in that whole area.
So thumbs up or thumbs down on Nangarhar, on, you know, the Moab. Are you good with that or no?
Yeah, I'm good with it. It's just that it just showed the limits of our warfighting capability. If that wasn't backed up with a ground force that went in to determine how many of these bunkers were collapsed and all of that, we'll get that battle damage assessment. But if people think that this is a device that we can use everywhere all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like North Korea, you would have to, there's 15,000 dug-in artillery tunnels in North Korea, just within 30 miles of the city of Seoul.
Right.
And the rest of the country has been an ant farm since 1953. So
right.
That you would have to drop those every 30 seconds everywhere to have any impact against North Korea. They're a precision weapon. They can't even be used against Iran because Iran has dozens of tunnels and tunnel launch sites and complexes. It's just one device. And it can, you know, I think it's almost experimental to a certain extent. And so I don't know why people are saying today that this is a message to North Korea. The only thing that's going to stop North Korea is an atomic bomb. And that's the only way you can dig out their programs underground. This bomb certainly won't do it.
Do you think this president would nuke North Korea?
Oh, geez. You know, you know, I'm very, very concerned. I know last night I said on Chris Matthews that I was terrified, but the rhetoric that's coming from the White House, and if I were to give them any advice, it would be, you know, you have to tone it down. North Korea does take every word you say literally, and they don't blink. As a matter of fact, they've been looking for a reason to have the Second Korean War. And once they get those atomic bombs ready, I mean, even if they're not ready to get on a launch vehicle like an ICBM,
right.
they can be lofted by a Scud missile or just detonated on the surface. You could put it in a trawler, you know, and move it to the coast of Japan
right.
and detonate it, and the electromagnetic pulse would drop every aircraft over South Korea and
Holy
Japan
crap, really?
Out of the sky. So,
wow.
you know, yeah, 100,000 people.
Oh, my God.
A minute. And, you know, we should not be talking about it.
But if the president is now delegating, what if you have somebody who, you know, is, you know, dying and has always been dying to bomb the North Koreans because he's, you know, he's in charge of that Pacific region. And, you know, he doesn't know that, you know, I mean, I guess he knows that, you know, that China needs North Korea to be North Korea, because the last thing China wants is a unified Korean peninsula, which is why he keeps talking about his love of President Xi. I think that has much more to do with lending him money than it does, you know, actually doing anything about Kim Jong-un, because the Chinese do not want a unified Korean peninsula. They like it just the way it is.
I think they understand that a unified Korean peninsula would mean that there was a massive war, which would destabilize the entire Chinese economy and
exactly.
stop global distribution of what they make. And the Chinese want stability. And the fact is, the matter is, they showed that they were the grown-ups at the table in Florida last week.
That's right.
I understand President Xi actually had to lecture Donald Trump on the history of China, the history of Korea and the Korean Peninsula.
And yes, he did.
Came out and said, that's fascinating.
And this is exactly what the president always does, okay? He didn't know healthcare was going to be so complicated. So Xi gives him 10 minutes of, you know, Chinese, North Korean, Korean Peninsula history, and he goes, oh, I thought you were much more influential over... I didn't understand that you didn't want to unify Korea. Oh, this is much more complicated than I thought. And I said that as a joke. I said that as a joke, and then he actually says it.
I know.
Oh, well, my God. That's why him having nuclear weapons. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You know, I gave a speech. Actually, it was part of a panel at the Asia Society in New York City about 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And at the end, they came across the room of six Asian and Middle East specialists. And they said, what's America's number one problem? And all across the room, they said North Korea. They finally came to me and said, Malcolm, so you're the terrorism guy. You're going to say ISIS or Iran. I said, North Korea.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to try to pump up anything. We could be, because we're using phrases like North Korea is an imminent threat. That phraseology from the president means that you are willing to do a preemptive attack against them.
That's
and
right.
And the only way to burn out the North Korean nuclear program is to use atomic bombs.
Oh, my God, Malcolm.
And if they are thinking about this, they don't understand 10 million people are within 30 miles of 15,000 rounds of artillery that has VX nerve gas, sarin nerve gas, high explosive mustard gas. The North Koreans are ready for it. They haven't been eating for 50 years. So,
I know.
You know, and once they get a really good working warhead that can be fitted on top of a missile, you know, we have not tried to really buy them out of it. They want the status that comes with a world power. And then with Donald Trump making statements towards them that are belligerent, they say, well, aha, this is why we need an atomic program.
This is just crazy. I mean, the idea that this president is just, you know, delegating everything out to the military, who, you know, look, the military is going to use military force. It's what they do. It's what they train for. It's what they understand. You know, as an intelligence guy, you know that the military is going to use military force, and that the intelligence people are going to want to use intelligence, and that the diplomats are going to want to use diplomacy. But he guts the State Department and you know, tells everybody the intelligence community can't be trusted, to the point where you have Americans who are spewing to me what Putin and Assad are saying, that the rebels actually attacked themselves and that it was a false flag operation. Yeah. And then you have a president that tells the military, do what you want. I mean, I don't get how this works.
Well, let me give you some assurance. The authority to use the weapon systems that they have to be within the authorization to use the military force. They have to be proportional to the combat mission. They have to be in zones where there's combat. This is not like, you know, Dr. Strangelove. We have General Jack D. Ripper, you know, launching his squadron of atomic bomb-bearing planes towards Russia so that the rest of the United States can so attack you, after.
So are right. you saying that Trump would have to go to Congress if he was going to do a preemptive strike on North Korea?
Well, this is where we get into trouble.
And see?
Last year, I managed to convince Jonathan Capehart at the Washington Post to write about the president's nuclear monarchy. He, if he determines, and only he determines, that North Korea is an imminent threat, see how I use that word,
mm-hmm.
to the United States, then he has the authority to launch a preemptive nuclear attack on North Korea without anyone stopping him.
What do you,
chain of command stopping
you know, Saturday's big holiday over there. It's the Founders Day, and they typically do something belligerent on Founders Day. Do you think anything's going to happen this weekend? Do you think that this is going to be, because Japan apparently is saying that that they're primed in North Korea, they're ready to launch in North Korea, and they believe that what he'll do is something tipped with sarin gas?
No, but I don't think that they will attack anybody. I think what they plan to do is
a test.
Is to detonate an atomic bomb and claim that that one, because it would be like their fifth test.
Right.
That they would claim that that bomb is miniaturized enough to go onto the warhead of an ICBM. And then the Taipodong 2 missile, which is their load-bearing ICBM, it hasn't completed all of its test flights. But they have the capability to reach, I think, with their IRBMs, their intermediate-range ballistic missiles, I think they can just barely reach Anchorage.
Okay.
But we're talking about a missile, the Taipodong 2, could reach everything west of Denver.
Oh, Jesus. So, come on, Malcolm.
Well, that's the one that we need to see whether they're going to complete the capability this year. North Korea wants an ICBM. They have the capability right now of devastating a good piece of Asia, but they've got to miniaturize that bomb and make sure it works. If they detonate one on Saturday, it will most likely be a working miniature.
Oh, no.
That is capable of going onto the head of the warhead.
Thanks.
And Trump has made statements like he will not allow North Korea to create ICBMs. Well, there's only one way you're not going to allow that. You can't shoot it down. Our theater high-altitude air defense system only shoots down missiles when they are in their terminal phase of flight, when they are coming to land. So, you could have an atomic bomb detonate, as Jim Woolsey, former director of the CIA, likes to show. You could have it detonated high altitude over the western United States, and everything electronic will end.
I got it. It
through electromagnetic pulse, and they go back to the 1870s.
Oh,
and that could neutralize the United States. Worst comes to worst, North Korea could always test bed a device above ground, on the coast or in the ocean, just so that everybody sees it visually.
Right.
And announce themselves as a clear nuclear power. All of these things could happen with a slower pace and less mischief if we had not started using the inflammatory language that we're using right now. Trump seems to operate as if he's in a Tom Clancy novel.
I know.
And that
he's a drama queen, but the drama that he can cause is mutually assured destruction. So
yeah. Well, I at one point in my career I worked at a National Nuclear Command post. I did a short tour substituting for some people, and the first thing they do when they bring you down into the mountain, which goes underground through rock, is they bring you to the big room with the big board, and they run a full scale simulation of an atomic attack on the United States, and you come out of there ardently anti-nuke. I mean, no one works in that site that wants to see an atomic bomb launched anywhere. Because you know what the stakes are.
Yeah.
Especially when the rooms behind you on the left say United States Senate, and the rooms behind you on the right say, House of Representatives.
Oh, God.
So, you and everything around you is dead.
Let me grab a break. Can you stick around? Because I want to talk to you about this Guardian article that you and I both reacted to. I saw you react to it. I did, too. It's an amazing article. And I don't know if anybody congratulated you on your pick of Estonia. You know, I just thought that was so so cool. That's what made me say, get Malcolm, get me Malcolm, you know, just Estonia. Like, I remember talking to you about Estonia is probably the one that supplied some intelligence, the Brits too, and it's just an incredible story. So can you hang on for a second?
Okay, sure.
All right, thank you so much. Malcolm Nance, of course, is our guest, and, you know, Malcolm, 30 years in counter intelligence, 30 years, you know, serving this country in a deep way. With information that could only come from him, joins us again in the next segment to talk about this Guardian article called, if you want to Google it right now, it's called British Spies Were First to Spot Trump Team's Links with Russia. It's an amazing article. The conclusion at the end is stunning. Go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.